to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 15th year. In a special edition of the podcast, Rob Norton, the president of the Cordish Gaming Group, talks about how his company has ridden out the COVID-19 by concentrating on construction of two new Pennsylvania casinos and expanded iGaming and sports betting platforms in that state. The GGB podcast is brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com.
You babes, all about your Madison shoes. We got a thing we call the Madison Blues. We do the Madison Blues. We do the Madison Blues. We do the Madison Blues.
As virtually the entire gaming industry shut down amid the COVID-19 pandemic, one of the few operators that has remained in the growth mode has been the Cordish Company. Despite a few COVID-19-related interruptions, Baltimore-based Cordish has managed to keep construction going on two major projects to open within the next year in Pennsylvania. As virtually the entire gaming industry shut down amid the COVID-19 pandemic, one of the few operators that has remained in a growth mode has been the Cordish Company. Despite a few COVID-related interruptions, Baltimore-based Cordish has managed to keep construction going on two major projects to open in Pennsylvania within the next year. The company is also launching its iGaming platform in that state with leading gaming provider GAN, along with an existing sports betting platform deal with FanDuel. Rob Norton, president of Cordish Gaming Group, spoke with Global Gaming Business editor Frank Legato to talk about how the company has managed to keep growth going during a difficult time.
Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. Today we have Rob Norton, who is president of Cordish Gaming Group, which has been very active in Pennsylvania and elsewhere lately. Thank you for being on the podcast, Rob.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with Pennsylvania. You've just launched your iGaming site there, Play Live. Was the gaming board online with you being the first to launch online gaming before brick-and-mortar facility was open, or did you have to convince them?
Yeah, so we approached them on the idea of launching in advance and talked to them about the benefit to the bricks-and-mortar facilities. And, you know, there was nothing in the legislation that prevented it. And quite candidly, the PGCB, or the Pennsylvania Gaming Control Commission, has been an incredibly good partner and a real asset in helping us get through the launch of our online facilities. First time we've ever done it, and, you know, we couldn't have done it without their support. So,
Now, GAN is your partner. What went into the decision to use the GAN platform for Play Live?
Been partnered with GAN and operating a social gaming site for almost 10 years now. We did this almost exact same play prior to opening a Maryland Live casino back in late 2011. We launched the Play Live Casino social casino site in advance of our casino opening in Maryland, and we were able to use the GAN platform and that site to recruit potential players for the bricks and mortar facility to the tune of, you know, 50,000 to 80,000 people. So we thought with having that experience, having the relationship we have already, the fact that GAN was already active with multiple customers in Pennsylvania, and we were trying to do this very quickly, you know, the decision to proceed came right as the pandemic shutdown occurred. And, you know, our goal was to try to get open as quickly as we could. So all of those things factored into using GAN versus another operator.
Mm-hmm. Now you're going with FanDuel as your sportsbook partner in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. Is that also because of experience in Maryland with FanDuel?
So we actually signed a deal with FanDuel because we think, quite candidly, they are the best-in-class operator of sportsbooks and online sports betting. You know, we believe that we're the best-in-class operator in bricks-and-mortar casinos, so we think in this case 1 + 1 = 3. And, you know, when we bring them on board for the bricks-and-mortar facility in Philadelphia, which is going to be one of the most exciting projects to hit the East Coast, when you add on the stadium impact with us being right in the stadium district, and we bring in a major sports player like FanDuel into our sports book right there, it just seemed like every way we looked at it, that it was an incredibly accretive partnership.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it still the plan to open the book before the physical property is completed in Philadelphia?
So there may be a little bit of misinformation on that. The FanDuel sports betting app, if that's what you're referring to, has been launched for some time already.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Pennsylvania. So the physical books are intended to open with the actual physical casinos. So, you know, the Westmoreland will be late this year, or I should say Pittsburgh will be late this year, and then Philadelphia will be the first quarter of 2021.
Okay. You did look into not having to duplicate the fee for sports betting. You eventually did. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the legislation passed a clarifying bill earlier this year that identified that through our Category 2 license that we could apply that same license and open up an operation in the Category 4 casino. So we do intend to have a sports book in both the Philadelphia and the Pittsburgh live operations.
Okay. Now, in Philadelphia, there's a lot of competition there in sports betting, and not only the sports books of all the casinos in the region, but Greenwood's South Philly Turf Club right there in the backyard. How do you differentiate the FanDuel book in Philadelphia?
I'll start, Frank, by saying, you know, it's part of our company culture and just kind of our DNA that we do not shy away from competition. We actually, in competition, we believe makes you better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think competition is, you know, ultimately, I think it's the customer who benefits from good, strong competition. In this case, I'm very excited about what we are bringing to market. I think our sports book that is being developed in Philadelphia is being developed in a way that will be a market leader. And when you add the Cordish development prowess with the FanDuel operational expertise as it relates to sports betting, again, I think the combination of those two, we're going to be a force in the sports betting market to be reckoned with.
Mm-hmm. Now, will you consider opening retail books in the actual stadiums since you're right there?
So right now there's no legislation that would allow for such a move in Pennsylvania. So right now the plan is where we're legally allowed to open them is inside our two casinos,
mm-hmm.
and that's what we are planning.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've managed to continue construction in Pennsylvania, relatively few interruptions due to the pandemic. Can you tell me a little bit about how you kept both facilities on schedule to open in late 2020 and early 2021?
Yeah, I mean, it really starts, Frank, with the fact that we, as a company, took the risks associated with COVID-19 very, very seriously, you know, in late January when it was first starting to, you know, show itself in the United States. Yeah, we started working on plans operationally and within our construction projects to stay ahead of this.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, unfortunately, we did have some relatively modest closures on the construction that were mandated, but we've implemented, you know, play it safe, which is our name brand, if you will, for mm-hmm. how to respond to COVID in both our operations and in our construction projects. And, you know, we've taken the very, very high road, treating safety as the top priority, because we know if we do it right, we present a safe working environment, a safe and play environment that, you know, everybody benefits from that approach. So our focus, I think in that regard has helped us maintain the schedule in the construction projects. And, you know, we're excited that, you know, we're going to open the first Category 4 casino and that we're going to right after that open one of the most exciting projects in Pennsylvania, the first full-scale casino resort in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
FSB is more than just a platform. With more than 100,000 live sporting events traded by FSB teams each year, FSB has the experience to help you launch the most exciting U.S. sports betting operation. Built by experts with years of experience and powering some of the world's most successful brands, the FSB platform has been created to put you in charge of your business. FSB helps by creating online and retail solutions that are supported by an incredibly strong mobile offering with marketing, trading, payments, and all the other tools required to support a world-leading sports book. The FSB team is good, but their technology is great. And now back to our podcast.
Now, you might not know this next question yet, because it's such a fluid situation, but is there any indication from Governor Wolf or the state or the board that you might be able to open at 100% capacity?
I think there's so much unknown as it relates to the pandemic and how the world, the CDC, and the states are reacting to it. You know, our general game plan is to stay on top of the latest information, work with the CDC and the local health departments as closely as we possibly can, so that we can continue to be a steward of the best practices offered by casino operations. And you know, whatever the rules are at the time that we open mm-hmm. either of those facilities, we will commit to opening those facilities under those rules and doing it as well, if not better than anyone else in the market.
Mm-hmm. And again, you have Maryland as the proving ground for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of the Maryland team and the way that we handled reopening the Maryland property. Quite frankly, we had a number of competitors and other operators come to see what we did and how we handled the opening, and you know, we went well above the requirements of CDC and kind of how we implemented plexiglass and almost every thing that we could put into place to try to create a safe environment was done with the mindset of how do you feel comfortable, feel safe in you know, the world that we're living in right now. And we did those things understanding that if you focus on the customer experience and you focus on, it's always been true, right? You focus on the customer experience, you know they're going to come back. Well, in this world, that customer experience includes cleanliness, sanitation, and a general sense of safety for the environment, not just safety in the traditional sense, but now safety as it relates to COVID. So, mm-hmm. Yes, we're going to learn a lot from Maryland as we move into Pennsylvania, and it's nice that we have that operation to lean on for their best practices.
And one more major link between the two is operating a casino adjacent to, or within, in this case, a major retail mall. What have you learned from Maryland operating in that retail environment that you'll use in Pittsburgh?
That's a great question. I think what you've learned is there's a number of things that are beneficial and are beneficial to both sides of that operation. So, you know, we understand that there is a strong cross utilization between retail shoppers in this type of mall situation with casino customers. We definitely see you know, a lot of people who are taking advantage of the entire complex. And I think in general, when you think of the infrastructure, the locations, the highway access, and everything that you have within kind of a retail mall situation, and the current shift towards entertainment that most of the retail malls are going through, you know, a casino as part of that is just almost a no-brainer. And it's you know, we're very, very pleased with our partnership at Arundel Mills, and we think our opportunity at Westmoreland Mall is going to yield similar and exciting results.
How's your relationship with the local community there in Hempfield Township and Westmoreland County?
Yeah, I mean, we are very, very excited about the partnership. We're very excited to be part of that community. You know, we've got some great leaders that are on the ground that have come from the local community And we've had tremendous support from the township leaders, the county leaders, and even some of the state elected officials. We are looking forward to building on that and being a partner of theirs for a long time to come. And you've heard me say it in the past. You know, part of our core values is to become a leader within the community. We need to be an accretive member to the community and lead the way. And you know, I like the position of where we started within Westmoreland. And you know, we'll continue to put that effort forth, and I'm sure when we look back 2-3 years from now, we'll have improved our overall sentiment just as we have in Maryland over the years.
I'm told you'll never be able to tell that there was once a Bon Ton store there.
Right. I don't know what you're talking about.
Now on to Maryland a little bit. It was one of the last states to open after the COVID-19 shutdowns. How's business been there, considering everything in the hotel and the casino since it reopened?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I think we're pleased first of all just to be back open. You know, having the casino shut down and having the impact on so many people. Being out of work and customers not being able to come and enjoy the facility they've had at their disposal for so long, you know, that was a hardship for all involved.
Mm-hmm.
And getting open and doing it the right way was our first priority. And again, as I said earlier, focusing the opening and the operation first and foremost on how to do it right and how to do it safely within what we're learning from the CDC and other health organizations. If we do those things, it would translate into, you know, an acceptable level of business. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're pleased with the first month's results. And you know, quite candidly, that's the first step in a marathon, if you will.
Right.
And, you know, I think we've got a lot more to go, and we're going to continue to stay focused and prioritize safety and security, cleanliness, sanitation, and we'll let the chips fall, if you pardon a bad pun.
Mm-hmm. Now the Maryland market in general, how has that ramped up revenue wise? Was it expected? Do you see pent up demand?
You know, we're seeing revenues that are close to levels from preceding years. But we are seeing a lot of trepidation still about visitation and coming out from certain segments of our customers. And again, we continue to work to try to ease those concerns and adjust where we can. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I am conservative in my longer views. I think we need to focus on doing the right thing for the right reasons. And if you do that, I think we'll do fine. And you know, we'll be here for the long run. Our goal is always about how to position ourselves for the long term.
Mm-hmm.
View of the customer and the view of the community and the view of the employees. And so I'm not overly reactive to 1 month's worth of revenue reports.
Well, over the long term, you've met challenge as well in the Maryland market, absorbing new competition at National Harbor. Do you want to say a little bit about how you've met the challenges in general thrown up in the state?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot of the same thing. I think one thing that we've managed to do, and it's a testament to being a privately held, locally owned business, is that we almost always look at what's right for the business over the long run. We're not pressured by, you know, daily stock movements or the quarterly earnings reports. You know, we look at what's the right thing to do for the long-term health of the organization, and we make our decisions based upon that. And, I think when we face the expansion of the gaming market in Maryland, we approached it with that same philosophy, and we've done so in the face of COVID. And I think we continue to see great results in the long run because we continue to focus on our business with that mindset. And, you know, I think if we continue to do that, whatever the next challenge is that presents itself, we'll rise up to that occasion and set a new course or a new path that will help us conquer that and set us up for long-term growth from there.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of that is you've sustained some momentum in all of your markets, and you've been one of the very few operators in the country that has kind of remained in a growth mode throughout this whole pandemic. How will you continue that momentum as we emerge from this crisis, hopefully next year?
Yeah, I mean, again, it goes back to thinking long view, and while we were heading into the shutdown and while we were heading into the COVID-19 pandemic, we were obviously worried and concerned about the impacts of the economy around us. But we continued to focus on where are our opportunities. We decided to continue to build in Pennsylvania, where some of our competitors decided to slow their construction down with the belief that, in the long run, the company will come back to normal and we'll be poised to be, a strong operator in assets that we believed in prior to the pandemic, and they'll be back, and full steam ahead, if you will, mm-hmm. Once the pandemic is over.
One more question: expansion of your operational footprint to new states, is that still a long-term goal? Is that in your business plan for the long term?
We will continue to evaluate opportunities, in all segments of the hospitality industry as we as they present themselves. We're going to continue with what we refer to as smart growth. We're not going to chase projects, but if opportunities present itself that make sense, that fit our brand, fit our core values, and are opportunistic for us, we will explore those opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for taking the time today, Rob, and good luck in Pennsylvania and elsewhere.
Thank you, Frank. I look forward to it, and I hope I'll see you at our openings in the very near future.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast brought to you by FSB, the industry's leading sports betting solutions and technology platform. For more information, visit fsbtech.com. To learn more about how the gaming companies have pivoted in the wake of COVID-19, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get all the news of the gaming industry, particularly of the coronavirus situation and its impact on gaming, including daily updates, subscribe for free at GGB News by using the code GGB180. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Contest. Subscribe on iTunes or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.
You babes are talking about your Madison shoes. We got a thing we call the Madison Blues. Way up blue.